listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. All of that is in him and him alone. He reigns. The second stanza calls us. To him shall endless prayer be made, and praises throng to crown his head. His name like sweet perfume shall rise with every morning sacrifice. Reading today from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherein I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Let's come before the Lord, giving thanks for what's described here, what took place at Ephesus, what took place in that church, that body of Christ, or that part of his body, and pray that that will again manifest itself much more fully in the world today than it is at this present time. Pray that we will have this power spoken of, sometimes indirectly, other times using that word, as we saw twice in verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Let's pray that that power will work, that many more will believe, and that the church will be revived and made one, as Christ also is described here. He might gather together in one all things in Christ. Our Father, we give thanks for these words. We give thanks for the things described here, the things planned, purposed, predestinated before the foundation of the world. All that thou didst do, Father, through Christ and because of Christ and with Christ, also knowing that the Holy Spirit would be given both in the beginning of those who would believe, and then as we also read, after they believed, they were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We pray, Father, that we might understand those things, and above all, that we might experience them. We think again of the apostles after the resurrection, or in the afternoon of the resurrection, being given thy Spirit, breathing on them, and thy saying to them, receive ye the Holy Spirit, and also opening their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. We pray that our understanding might be opened, that all of the church will believe these Scriptures as they are given, And as we can read over and over, to the glory of thy grace, that we might not only read that, but that we might experience it, that we might in humbleness acknowledge it, that what we have in Christ, what we have in salvation, what we have as a gift from thee, is all in thy grace, undeserved. Also a grace that is a grace in power. Otherwise, Father, we would not be here, either to preach or to listen. We know that thy people will be made willing in the day of thy power, and we pray that that day may come in a mighty way to both Jew and Gentile. We pray for it for the world and for the church. We pray that there might be before thy coming in that final day, Lord Jesus, a great ingathering. We pray also for the other needs that there are in the world, the homeless, the hungry, the sorrowing, the sick, the injured, those in lonesomeness, those troubled homes that are broken, that they might be healed, the children in those homes. We pray for the church to be revived. We pray for schools to be taught the truth, that they may not teach a lie, that they might again recognize that thou art the creator of the world and the sustainer as well. That they might recognize, Father, all these things, that we can recognize that again thy holy law, that we can recognize thee as lawgiver and redeemer, all in Christ. Amen. We have been for a number of weeks speaking of the resurrection of Christ, that which we commemorated again in these recent weeks, remembering his death, his burial, his resurrection, and remembering who it is. Yes, who it is. A prophet, but much more than a prophet. It is the Son of God, God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that we've been speaking of, promised to Adam. Yes, one that is the Savior of the world. As God said to Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. They have been, and they are being, and they will be before the end of time. These people here at Ephesus were blessed because God planned it long before he told Abraham. But in time, he told Abraham of it. And we can read of that throughout Scripture, both in the Old and the New Testament. We can read of this God spoken of here, that we began to read in the third verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We also read in the 20th verse, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places. In the second chapter again, we read, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Heavenly places on earth for hell-deserving sinners. Is it any wonder then that Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ? I'd like to continue to think of it because of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And also, as we saw last week, that it is all with power. Power, not just giving it, not just doing it, and then leaving it up to man. Remember those words again. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? If it was just the first part, we'd say that God gives power to those who believe. And because we believe, he gives us power. But the last part shows that we believe by his power, or according to his power, his mighty power, that which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That was by the power of God. But that same power is given to us, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of power, That's what Paul said to Timothy, not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power. Yes, that's what we need more of. We must believe in it. It's there. It has been. But how much we need it today in a new and mighty outpouring of it. The early church, after the resurrection, was told to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. They did. They stayed there. They prayed and prayed and prayed in one accord, in one place. And then when the day of Pentecost was fully come, power, mighty power, that which was promised, that which they were told to wait for, and they prayed for, and it came. It came in such a way that they were able to preach with power, without fear, that Peter and others had before. They could preach in such power that 3,000 heard the word and were pricked in their hearts. 3,000 that Peter could say to them, "You would wicked hands have crucified this Jesus of Nazareth." They came from their wickedness, from their hatred, from their enmity, from their seeking to overthrow God and His Son, to be willing in the day of His power. That's something we must believe. Not all people believe it, sadly. I've heard evangelists on the radio say, "God is powerless unless you let Him." I've seen it written in black and white. I read today out of a man who wanted to go to seminary to get his master's degree, who said he and those in the particular group that he was with, I won't mention their name or their identification, but that they didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, a prophet, a teacher. He was that. But he was, as we read twice from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both ours and theirs. Yes, he was declared to be the Son of God with power, as Paul writes to that church, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. God had promised to Abraham, first to Adam, then Abraham, then Jacob, Isaac as well, and then David, made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He has come, the Son of God, took on him the form of a man, the seed of David, born in that lineage, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. It's everywhere in Scripture. Yes, if there was no power of God to us, there would be no believers. We'd all stay in our enmity. We'd all stay in our unbelief. Yes, the door is open, but unless the power of God is manifested, we will stay on the outside. We will refuse. I repeat again what I did earlier from Psalm 110, David's words concerning Christ. The Lord said unto my Lord, "Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." That has taken place. That is taking place. All we need is more of that power to more nations. It is to be preached to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It is to the Jew first and after the Greek. And even though many of the Jews have not yet believed, one day that power will be manifest, and that's their only hope. That power from Him who said, "I will pour out the Spirit of grace and supplication." A power to cry unto God, to His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, how we need it. When that was given in one of the great awakenings, one of the revivals in the church, this is what Jonathan Edwards wrote in December of 1734. He said the Spirit of God began to set in extraordinarily and to work wonderfully amongst us very suddenly, one after another. Five or six people were miraculously converted. I was particularly surprised by the story of a young woman who had been one of the greatest company keepers in the whole town. When she came to speak with me, I had never heard that she was serious about anything. Yet by the conversation I then had with her, it appeared to me that what she gave an account of was the glorious work of God's infinite power and sovereign grace. Do you know of that? Do you believe it? If you're a preacher, do you preach it better than the one who said God is powerless unless you let him? What a lie! God of power. Without that, it will remain. As the psalmist could write, and as Paul repeats it, there is none that seeketh after God. There is none that understandeth. It is that power that must come, that power that was made known here. Twice reading in that first chapter that God planned it all ahead, purposed it all ahead. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Some might say, well, that's God predestined that plan, and it's all in Christ, and then if we choose Christ, then we are in. But it's more than that. Listen to verse 11, in whom also we obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He not only predestinated, he not only planned, he not only coveted with Christ that he would save a people, and he would save that people through faith, but he also chose them in Christ, as we can read here, verse 4 of Ephesians 1, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Paul also writes, using that word predestinated or predestination, in Romans 8, moreover, whom he predestinated, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. There is a call just with the word. And if that's all we have, you and I will refuse it. Or we'll rest it. We might say we believe it. We might be like the shallow ground. We might be like the thorny ground. The word sown among thorns or on the hard surface underneath. Give an imitation, but if we are to be the good ground hearers, the honest and good, then we need the power of God to change the deceitful heart. We need the power of God to open the heart, like he did Lydia, and like he did even with the apostles on the day of resurrection. He opened their understanding. It's with the heart that man understands. The mind may believe things, may repeat things, but not necessarily understand them. We may be actors in them, act it out, learn the script. Christians, preachers, others. But it'll be as Paul said to Timothy, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Oh, do you believe in that power? Do you believe it in such a way that you are praying for it? Praying for more of it? Because God can give it. God can give it again as he did at the time of the Great Awakening. He can make that power known. He can make it known, as we have already mentioned before, the church at Thessalonica, where Paul said, writing to them later, after having preached there, stating, looking back to his time of preaching, he says, we came not in word only, but in power with the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. What did he say with that? Knowing your election. God singled you out. And we know it because God sent his word with power. Those two go together. God's predestination, God's election, God's power. That power will go with everyone that's predestinated, everyone that's chosen, everyone that's elected. And you need it, and I need it. When I was talking to one person once, they said, if he's that kind of a God, I don't want anything to do with him. That person was exactly right. We don't want anything to do with the true God until he makes us willing in the day of his power, until he imparts into us the power of himself, the power of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of truth. The truth, as the Lord Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That word, accompanied with the Spirit, will set us free from our lies, from our bondage, from our sin. And we need it. We need it in the church. Just think of this 10th verse again, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. All things in one. He ends this chapter. I know the man made the divisions of the chapters, but this particular description here, verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He likens the church to a body. He describes it as his body. He does that here in the first chapter. He does it again in the fifth chapter, 27th verse, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. We are to have that. We are to believe it. We are to desire it. We are to do it. We are to be hearers and doers of the word. And it will take God's power to make us one. God's power to melt the hearts of stone, the hearts of ice, the coldness, the deadness, especially that which is there today. And I repeat again what I mentioned before when Paul writes to Timothy, they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And there are actually those who deny it in doctrine. But God doesn't do that. God doesn't bring us down to our knees, bring us down with our hearts, bring us down as little children before him, as he did with the Apostle Paul who wrote this. Paul knew it well. Yes, Paul knew it in experience. Christ making him cry out, who art thou, Lord? And what wilt thou have me to do? Oh, that there might be such converts, and especially such converts that will become preachers, will become laborers in God's kingdom. How we need them. But we need them as well in the church to be one body. Together in one and all things in Christ. Who are we to push others out of Christ? Oh, may God forgive us, God change us, and God give us repentance and revival.
To God be the glory when things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.